We have been, the basic teaching we've been learning about lately is repairing the foundation. In the event some of you weren't remembering exactly what we were doing, we're repairing the foundation of our faith. I believe in so many areas we've gotten so far away from what our faith is supposed to be. We think that faith is strictly just calling in money, calling in healing. Faith goes a big broad band, and you can use it for that. But I promise you, if you're planning on using it just for evil, it ain't coming. So you might as well just save your words. But God wants us to restore, I believe, the foundation of our faith. When we began this in February, we looked at some scriptures where Isaac had been run off by Abimelech. And when he was run off, he went and redug the wells that his father Abraham had dug. And this is kind of a type of going back to what? Where we came from. You know, on Wednesday nights, like I said, if you're not getting the Wednesday night message, you're not here, you're really missing an integral part of this whole thing. They are running concurrently and hand in hand. But we were talking about how in this country, originally, our motto was, and it's actually the Statue of Liberty, send me your poor, your tired, your humbled masses, the poor. Send me your poor. But today, you only get in this country if you got enough money. So we've gotten away from what made this country a great country. Because I promise you, if it had not been for send me your poor, there's probably not a one of our families that would have come in here. Okay, my families were hillbillies on the other side of the pond. So, and as I've come to find out, some of you were in the same boat. Your families were from the same neck of the woods. And so we would have come poor. Nothing, they didn't sell riches. They didn't have thousands and thousands of pounds of gold to just come over here and start in a new world. Most of them started off with nothing. And if they had anything, they built it up. But we've gotten away from that in this country. We've gotten away from what is right in the church. We now have churches teaching that it's okay for you to live in sin. It's okay for you to do this. It's okay for you to do that. Well, there's churches, I promise you folks, you can find a denomination somewhere that will tell you it's okay. You can do drugs, just don't get carried away. It's a thought. It's something that runs. There was a song I heard on the radio the other day. It's actually a country song. As a matter of fact, we heard it at the thing last night. They did it on, did a video for the FFA. And it was talking about voices. I hear voices all the time. And he's talking about, I hear the voice of my mama to drop something in the offering plate on Sunday. I hear the voice of my father saying this, but I hear the voice of my grandfather saying it's okay to drink, but just don't go too far. Okay, where's the conflict? There is a great conflict here. Because you got one side saying you need to be in church, and the other side saying go ahead and get drunk. The problem is, what's too far? Because I promise you, one, and you will start feeling just a little bit better, and you're going to like, well, I think I can take on this. I can do this. The next thing you know, you're either dead or you got somebody else killed. So where does it all stop? And so anyhow, there's doctrines going around today. It's okay to be a homosexual. Listen, I have nothing against the person. And I believe the majority of them turned that way because they've been rejected. We were talking, who was I talking to? I think it might have been my brother. And he was talking about how the repeal on Don't Ask, Don't Tell was affecting the military. And most of the people do not believe it's going to have a big effect on the morale because most of the homosexuals know they'd still better just stay in the closet. They were in when I was there. Okay, they just kept it quiet. But a lot of guys, we had one guy in particular in boot camp, he professed Christ. I do not know that he was a homosexual, okay? but he was just a soft-spoken Southern boy. Okay? He was kind of a mama's boy. I don't think he could hardly shave. But I promise you, because of his soft-spokenness, that he got made fun of. He got made fun of by the drill instructor, so let's just, you can leave it there. But a lot of those people decided to go to that lifestyle because they were accused of it already. And whatever happened to innocent until proven guilty in this country? A guy calls in and says, I just killed my family. And the lawyers are saying he's innocent. The man admitted with his own voice. And that just happened yesterday in Oak Harbor, Ohio. Man killed his three children, his wife, and himself. Phoned it in. Oh, but they're innocent. What happened to the day when people stood up when they saw something wrong happening instead of running away like a whipped pup? If that had been the case, the young woman in Logan, Ohio would still be alive and not found in a septic tank in a church. Somebody saw them stuffing her in the trunk at 11 p.m. at night, and because they had a little pepper spray, and they sprayed him, he ran off like a whipped pup. But if he had stood and fought or called 911, the girl would have still been alive. We have people today that do not stand up for what's right. We do not do it because it's right. We do it because it's our right. Sometimes there's times we need to keep our rights silent. And that's a hard thing to do. Because that's not, actually the Bible tells us to bless those who persecute us. Pray for those who spitefully use us. Do you know how hard that really is? If somebody's spitefully, do you know how hard it is to pray for them instead of saying, oh, I just wish I had a big stick? That's what we want to do. And trust me, we all get used in that way. And we all get tested in that way. At one point or another, we will get tested. So we're trying to go back. That's where we're going. I don't care where the top mega churches in the country are going. We're going back to the basics and make sure that we are solid. See, even in even in the fleet, and I'm sure the Army was the same way, you constantly were going back, learning. You had classes. This is the base. We had classes on how to put a battery in a Hummer. That's not rocket science, folks, but we had to keep reteaching it so that people understood. And part of the reason we had to keep reteaching is because people were filling them with the wrong type of water. You don't put chlorinated water in a battery. They will explode. And so we constantly were going back teaching the same stuff. And then we would have advanced teaching. But we were always going back to the basics, repairing the things we've forgotten. It never ceased to amaze me that when you got in drill, when we would go out to drill, how much people had forgotten. And most of us had only been out of boot camp for 4 years, four years, but people had forgotten a lot of the stuff because they did not practice it every day. And so we've talked about how the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but wisdom is the principal thing. So if the fear of the Lord, we start actually building the foundation. We start building on wisdom. And because of that, we spent actually quite a while talking about the fear of the Lord and how it is a mix of a reverential fear. It is the mix of terror. Okay, I'm not going to get out of line here. I know I have a merciful God, but I really don't want to get on the wrong side with him. Has anybody ever gotten on the wrong side with somebody who had some authority in your life? Mom or dad or boss. As soon as you made them mad, your life just got a little bit tougher. And so it's probably, and I'll be honest with you folks, I was never one. Growing up, I was always told to just keep my thoughts and you can ask Bart. We never really spoke our true feelings. We were just seen and not heard. However, when I got out and I got a little more intestinal fortitude, I started speaking things that I probably should have kept quiet. You know what happens when you got something that's well-disciplined and well-trained for a while, and then you just let it go, it just goes nuts. So sometimes your life does not get exactly the best. And do you know what we call that when we exercise keeping our mouth quiet? Wisdom. And so today we're looking at some things because there's actually been some events here lately that has proven, I mean, they have proven to a T what the Bible says. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 23 this morning. Y'all, has anybody ever realized that when you read the book of Proverbs, for some reason, you could probably read the entire 31 chapters. You just sit down there and you are devouring it. Did you ever wonder why? It's because that is, I believe the book of Proverbs is the Word of God condensed. You want to know how to make a business decision? Get in there and look at it. It's in there. You having marital problems? Look. And if you're having still problems there, go to the Song of Solomon. Write her a love letter. It's all in there. But people do not look at it. They look, oh, that's a good saying. How about it's something you can live by? How about this can save your life? Having marital problems? Do you know what the first couple chapters deal with? First, it's talking about wisdom, but I believe it's in chapter 3. It starts talking about adultery and then the harlot. Two chapters, one man spent talking to his son about the perils of loose women. Now, obviously, it goes both ways, okay? But it was something for us to understand. There is a price to pay for adultery. Now, you may be one of the lucky few that your wife says, you know what, I will forgive you, and I will move on. Or your husband. But you might be one of the ones that the husband or wife said, forget it. Here's the axe. I've known people in both situations. But the book of Proverbs talked about it already. Don't listen to what that fella's telling you. You keep running into that guy in the store, start thinking, this might be a problem. It's too convenient for him to always be following me in. Or, oh, hey. Now, and there are coincidences that you just happen to run into the same person. But then there comes a point when they just start, hey, would you like to go get a drink? Would you like to go get a coffee? That's the first step in seduction, ladies and gentlemen. And the second you do that, you are on your way. Especially if you are too ashamed to tell your husband or your wife. You know, like I said, some of these shows that we've been watching from the BBC, it's amazing. They really don't bring God into the story, into the lives of the people, but there's always a godly point proven. And when they do bring God into it, they really bring God into it. But in this one particular story, the guy, they're not married yet, and an old flame comes into town, and he's trying to She hasn't decided, yes, we're going to get married on such and such date. And then that old flame comes in. Guys, here's a little bit of advice. You have an old flame? Arms distance away. No hugs, no kisses on the cheek. That's stupid. An old flame is an old flame. You want to get a fire started in an old piece of wood that's been burnt before, get it near a flame. And it will cause problems. A little bit of wisdom there. But you know what? That's what the book of Proverbs is loaded with it. But anyhow, Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 10 says, do not remove the ancient landmark. You know what a landmark is? It's something that marks a boundary, an event, a warning, something. You know, if you're riding out west, now I don't know how many, I'm sure there's still a few roads. If anybody's ever watched the movie Wild Hogs, there was a particular point on there where they entered the desert and there was no gas station for 200 miles. Now, my bike, I can get 150 miles on my bike to a tank. So you're going to run out of gas. And there was a sign that was blocked by a truck. That was a landmark sign that said, no gas for the next 200 miles. So I mean, for nearly 50 miles, they pushed their motorcycles. I left the thing on the side of the road and walked the 50 and got the gas and walked back. Because, personally, pushing a motorcycle is just not my style. Having JD push my motorcycle is not... Yeah. But anyhow, there was a landmark, a warning, something you need to know, some information you need to know. And this is where we're going back to. We're going back to the landmark of our faith. A lot of the church does not believe that Jesus rose from the dead now. So what's the basis of our faith then? If Jesus was not crucified, dead, and buried, and resurrected on the third day, what's the point of our faith? He's no different than Buddha, Hare Krishna, any of this dead religions. He's no different. But he did. And the church is getting away from the basic teachings. We've gotten into ceremony, pomp and circumstance over something that really means something. Oh, well, we'll be all this. Well, you can see processions out the wazoo. They come up, they got 15 crucifixes, they've got flags, they've got this, they've got that. But they deny the power that lies within. Oh, no, 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 no. Don't go expecting you to have the kind of power the apostles had. They were special people. Right. They were rednecks. They were the people that society rejected. So the Bible tells us not to neglect or not to remove the landmarks. Now again, here it is indeed, and it goes on to talk about, nor enter the field of the fatherless. Many times if you see, a lot of times around here, you can still see some of the sandstone fence posts in the corners. Those things, by the way, are huge. They're about 10 to 11 feet long. They didn't have portable hydraulic trucks that could just run around and drop them things down. And they are heavy. But a lot of them are landmarks. Well, the one right here on the corner of the property. At one time in life, that was the landmark. Since our modern system, they have now put a pin in the ground on the other side of that. And that's the property line. That is the landmark. But at one time in life, that corner, that fence post corner, was the property line. We used to have this old walnut tree in the back of our yard. And, oh, it was about half alive, wouldn't you say? If I remember. Mostly it was because it had poison ivy growing up the side of it. And, you know, it had yellow jackets that would always burrow down around in the roots, and Dad would take the gasoline, go pour it in there, and blow them out of there. And we're all like, why don't we cut that tree down? It's dead. It's half dead. Then we found out why. It was the landmark. It was the property line. Now, granted, they could have cut it down because, okay, they've had the pin system for quite a while now. But nobody would touch that tree. I think it's still there. And it's got to be dead. I mean, like I said, it was about half dead. It would only drop maybe a dozen or so walnuts a year. And so people left it alone because it was the landmark. It's what they always recognized. When they deeded that property back in the 50s, that's what they recognized. This is the line, because there was a fence line that also went along with it on the other side. This is what the landmark is. So we will always know where it's at. We will know our boundaries. Do not remove the landmark. Do you know how many churches are not teaching out of the Word of God today? They're just wanting to tell you how to be happy, go with the flow. If it feels good, do it. That kind of garbage. They don't use the word. I'm not even going to get in and start railing on people just because they use an overhead for the word of God. Listen, it wasn't but until a couple, not too many years ago, that everybody had a Bible. they weren't exactly cheap. And most people couldn't read, so what do? So you can't really go back and say, and I say, if you got one, bring it to church. It's not going to hurt you, and everybody knows where you're going. Before I got saddlebags, anytime I'd ride my bike to church, I'd strap my Bible and notebook and stuff on the back of my bike. They knew exactly where I was going. So we've got to remember not to remove the landmark, nor ignore the landmark. That's what the Bible is talking about right there. Okay, well, here's the landmark, but I think I'm going to just mosey right on over here and just keep farming 10 feet. That guy's never going to notice. I'll tell you, Bob has a field, and I always thought the whole thing belonged to Bob, but there's 40 acres of that field that belongs to him, and what would you say, about 8 on the other end? 7 or 8 on the other end, it runs along a creek, that belongs to the next farmer down. There's no fence row there. I still don't know. What do you use to guide by? There's something apparently he uses to... Okay, the pole. Okay, see, that's their landmark. They make sure they don't cross it. You can go, one could be growing wheat one year and the other one corn or beans. And you will see a nice straight line down through there. They don't say, okay, I think I'm just going to slip over 5 feet and I'm going to plant his field. Well, the other farmer knows, that's my field. So that's what the Bible's talking about. But we'll get into this for a second. Jason, would you bring up that picture? I got a picture. Okay, let me shut this light off because you're not going to be able to see that. Can you shut these lights off? At least the ones that are shooting right on. Okay, can everybody pretty much see that? Does anybody know what it is? It is a rock. It is a landmark. I don't know exactly how old that one is, but some of them are 600 years old, and there are hundreds of them on the island of Japan. And what they are marking is, do not build your house on the other side of this rock because a tsunami might take your house out. That's what it says. There's writing on the top of it. It's a landmark from their fathers 600 years ago, letting them know, don't build on the other side. We know. Anytime there's a, they call them tremblers, there's a trembler, there's going to be a tsunami, and your village is going to disappear. And lo and behold, 600 years ago, they knew it. Now, here's a picture of it as well. This is out of the World Magazine. They like these quotable quotes. And this is Fumihiko Imamura. He's a professor in disaster planning at Tokyo University in Sendai, Japan, on the stone markers some more than 600 years old in Japan that warned not to build below those points because of dangerous tsunamis. Now, the small village of Anyoshia escaped damage from the March tsunami because all the homes are on ground above one such tablet. One village heeded the wisdom of their fathers. Now, by the way, here's what he said. It takes about 3 generations for people to forget. 3 generations for people to forget. When was Pearl Harbor bombed? 1941. When were the World Trade Towers bombed? 40 years later. There's 3 generations that have passed in that span. Or yeah, 60 years. Did my math wrong, sorry. 60 years. So 3 generations have forgotten. Why did Pearl Harbor get bombed? We're lacking our security. We lowered lowered our guard. People knew, they knew they were coming in, but people were off. Hey, we're planning a good Sunday morning here on Hawaii. We got a little lax in our airport security. Hey, anybody could walk right down the thing. Hey, oh yeah, let's just let anybody walk in carrying box knife. Okay, that, I'm sorry, but I'm not afraid of a box knife. Anybody, I mean, yeah, I'm afraid if I'm using it. Because I'm the one that always gets cut. But a box knife, we're talking a utility knife, people, something that they use in Walmart to cut the boxes open every day. And yet, people were afraid of that. People forgot such warnings. Why? Well, because Hawaii's way over there and nobody goes and sees the Arizona sitting on the bottom of the bay. We forget them. You know why they forgot these? Well, you can see the surrounding. It's in the woods. Now, I've never been on the mainland Japan, but Okinawa, not a whole lot of wildlife area. It's nothing but wall-to-wall buildings, concrete, asphalt, you name it. But there ain't a whole lot of that, or isn't a whole lot of that. And so because of that, people have forgotten the landmarks. In this country, we even use landmark cases. That's how judges rule. They go back, instead of ruling on the actual case, they'll fall back on a landmark case. Say, well, this will be what judges the rest of them from now on. Well, if the facts in the case are all the same, that's fine. If they're not, then it's totally wrong. I actually read where a judge in Utah is being questioned by the Supreme Court judges in Utah because of a decision she made. She overturned their decision. And they've called her in for questioning. They want to know why she did such a thing. She claims that there was violation of their religious rights. Well, considering it was a church that is actually practicing illegal doctrines in this country, polygamy primarily, and from what it sounds like, it had nothing to do with their religious freedoms, why things were confiscated, I'd have to say the courts were probably in their rights, but I have not seen all the cases, so or all the evidence. But in our country, we are forgetting every day what got us here. We think that the way to get out of debt is to tax the people more. Do you realize that it's only been since 1916 there's been a stupid federal income tax? Do you realize that from that point on, we've gone downhill, in my opinion? Oh, yeah, we developed factories and all this stuff, and we got so much stuff going. But the country had been around for how much longer before that? As a matter of fact, I wish I'd have brought that. We were at an FFA banquet last night, and which one is represented? Where's Josh? Which one's represented by George Washington, the officers? Bob, do you remember? I know it's been a few years. Well, is it the president? It had something to do with bookkeeping. Treasurer. It had something to do with the bookkeeping. And they said in there, they quoted this, that because George Washington kept such accurate and precise records of his farm going on business and his other business ventures, that he remained financially independent. And because of his independence, he was able to be an asset for the United States. But that's not what we're taught today. The very thing that we're taught today is the very thing that's actually got us hung. Extending credit when there shouldn't be any credit. People thinking, oh, hey, I got a little bit extra money in. I need a McMansion today. Let's go out and build us a 5,000 square foot home, not realizing that okay, we lived in 2,000 square feet, and suddenly we can't figure out why our heating and electric bill's gone up more than double. Can't figure out for the life of me why my property tax has gone up. And therefore, they can't afford the stuff, and they lose it. There are literally millions of homes across the country today that are abandoned because of that one reason. And it's not just average folk. It's movie stars, rock stars, sports athletes, and everything, everybody. We've forgotten where we've come from. We forgot what took us here, what got us here. And the founding fathers, regardless of their their religious beliefs and how faithful they were, every last one of them fell back on the Bible. I realize there were some pretty heathenistic men. I mean, Benjamin Franklin died of STD. I believe it was syphilis. Thomas Jefferson, well, he had a concubine, one of his slaves. As a matter of fact, he was writing a Bible that, it wasn't a Bible, but it was basically a chronological order of the Bible. But the problem is it left out all the miracles of Jesus. But yet every last one of them knew that there was one creator, and that was God Almighty, and they all, I believe, listened to the wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Because if you get, and we will over the next several weeks, we're going to get more into it. Because folks, right there, Proverbs 23:10, it tells us not to go into the field of the fatherless. And if you read the rest of it, it says, because their Redeemer, as a matter of fact, let me grab my Bible, says, for their Redeemer is mighty, and he will plead their cause against you. Do you realize the way that our government is treating the widows of the men killed in Iraq and in Afghanistan is deplorable? There are a lot of things going on that we don't know about. Banks that are saying, you know what, I don't care. You are now 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 6 months. I don't care if your husband did die. Do you realize it takes a while to get the life insurance settled? Because the life insurance company doesn't want to pay out. But yet they paid their premiums every cotton picking month. And I did not use that as a racial slur. Somebody told me that's a racial slur. That is not. I found out the other day what cracker meant. I knew it was a white person, but I had no idea why. I'm like, do I look like a saltine? It had to do with the crackers, the guys who cracked the whips. I thought, boy, talk about a racist statement. This is where our country's at. You can call me a cracker and get away with it, and you can call yourself something else, but the second I call it, you got me wrapped up in court. I think it's both wrong. Just so you know where I'm standing. But we can't have it both ways. We cannot say, oh, well, we're going to do this for you. Listen, at one point in life, I got a feeling some of my family might have been slaves themselves in Europe. Because the last I checked, it was only until they came over here that they were actually able to make anything. We've not found anything over there that says, oh yeah, we were lords of the land. Our name doesn't even show up in the registry, so it was evidently a different spelling over there. So what am I going to do, go back to England or go back to Scotland and say, hey, you owe me some money because my great-great-great-great-grandfather served you? Let's get over it. Can't even believe some of that stuff is still going on. But the Bible's telling us right there that if we go oppressing those people, well, as a matter of fact, well, actually, 22:28 says almost the same thing. It says, do not remove the ancient landmarks which your fathers have set. There we go. What did our fathers set? That this country was founded for opportunity. But people say, you're denying me happiness. Do you realize you are not guaranteed happiness? Does anybody? Everybody knows this, right? It says the pursuit of happiness is all. If you aren't going to pursue it, I'm sorry, you're just not going to be happy. And it's not my problem. Oh, but you keep holding me down. How am I holding you down? I'm just telling you, dealing drugs is illegal. And no, I do not think they need to legalize marijuana. Oh, but Pastor, it's got the same effects as what drinking alcohol. That's why you throw every person who dares get behind the wheel You put them in jail for 6 months. See how they like no pay for 6 months. How about we let justice actually do its job? I have read of some things. I read of a story where a mother was sentenced because her 13-month-old baby drowned in a tub while she was on Facebook. And as I sat and I thought, okay. Now my only problem with this is she got at least 6 months in prison. And the judge says, you need to understand this was a crime. I know you did not mean to do it. And her defense was, he was an independent little boy, 13 months old. Kid barely got a tooth in his head, may have not even learned to walk yet. And you filled the tub up with water and just walked away? All 13-month-old babies are a little independent, and the first word they learn is no. But at 13 months, they can also learn something else. I'm the boss, not you. And as I've learned, you have to keep that up for quite a while. Okay. I was thinking 18, but... But in this country, some guy who may have intentionally gone in and killed might get 6 months because he said, I'll tell you where the bodies are at. You make a deal with me. I'm going to make a deal with you. You tell me where the bodies are at, or we're going to let Rocco over there take over. We ain't going to protect you in your jail cell no more. Oh, Pastor, that's... It pays to be a criminal in this country. Have y'all realized that? They get paid in prison. It's not lots of money, but they get paid. And they've got better health insurance than you do. I have none, so I'm assuming some of you got some pretty decent health insurance. If you got any, they still got it better. All they got to say is, I got a cold, and they go to get... They got a doctor waiting on them. Guy on death row who murdered somebody, supposed to have been put to death 10 years ago, gets cancer and they're treating him for it. Justice is not being served in this country. We've forgotten what our fathers have set the landmarks at. When they said, it is illegal to kill, that's what they meant. By the way, they got that from the Bible. It amazes me how much our country's trying to kick the word of God out of its leadership, but yet all of our laws are primarily on the Ten Commandments. That's why they need to be. You can't lie under oath. Now, they don't care if you lie any other time. But you don't lie under oath. Now, the adultery one, they look the other way on. Coveting, they look the other way on the things that are the sources of these other crimes. And they really look the other way when it says, I am the Lord your God, and you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make any graven images and bow down to them and worship them. But do we? In this country, yeah. Take your pick. Pick your poison. There's all kinds of graven images. There are people I know who they live in small houses and they bring in their motorcycles and set it in the living room. I'm sorry, it's a piece of steel, and I don't care if it says Harley, Indian, Kawasaki, or what on it. It's sitting in the garage. That's where things with motor oil belong. Besides that, in the garage, I can rev it as loud as I want. But people create their own idols. Oh, but you don't understand, Pastor. It's turkey season. I got to get my turkey. Listen, anybody here hunt turkey? Nobody's hunt turkey. Okay, I might hunt turkey next year, and I've never hunted turkey, but I promise you I will get one. Why? Because I've learned a little something. Turkeys are dumb in the fall. They really are. I talked to a hunter once. I said, what is the deal with the talk? I walked up on the turkey. I'm from me to Richard from this turkey. And these guys are sitting out in the spring trying to get them, and they won't come. And this thing just let me walk. And it's not the first time it's happened. He said, oh, yeah, fall turkeys are different. I thought, why do they hunt them in the spring then? Just wait until the fall. They're getting fat and happy for winter. Now they're building a nest, and they're going to be a little more leery. Well, that's what I'm thinking. Talk about a fresh organic turkey. But the things that we walk away from in the Bible. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. We don't train up our children anymore. We send them to the school and expect the school to do it. I praise God when we have a godly teacher, but not all the teachers are godly. Proverbs 23:13 says, do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. Now, by the way, the word says beat, and it says rod, and he will not die. It's talking about using a switch to their backside, not to their head, not to their back, to their chest, to the little area about yay wide. So that means you got to be in control. If you go moving up and down their legs, you're out of control. You need to stop. You are not created to be a whip master. Or what was it? Was it the quartermaster? I think it's whose job it was in the Navy in the old days on ships. It was his job to administer punishment. And they enjoyed it. They were sick in the head. Anybody that enjoys spanking their child is a little demented. Now, I make them think I enjoy it just so it puts a little more fear in them. But I really don't. Anybody who does has got a problem. But today, they'll try to drag you in court for child abuse. If your child has to go to the hospital for something, doesn't matter if it happened at school. As a matter of fact, this the example that I have in my head was from a gal over in Marion whose daughter got hurt at school. She had to go pick her daughter up at school, take her to the Marion emergency room, and then they asked her, said, do you feel safe in your home? She got hurt at school. What's this got to do with home? They're asking now, they're trying to set you up. So what, you can put them in the foster care system? Yeah, in my opinion, they're not doing any good in some of it. Oh, let's just ship them around. You got children who really need help, and on the other side, it's the parents who need beat. But justice isn't going to be done because we've gotten away from the landmarks of our Father. We are walking away. I promise you that all the founding fathers that had children took them out behind the woodshed. Oh, Abraham Lincoln. I remember reading the short version of his autobiography. And he was out. It was Sunday afternoon. The preacher was coming over for dinner. And he's out standing on a stump preaching to the cornfield, the very message he just heard. And the preacher walks by and sees him standing up there and just kept around going. And he told Abe's father, and he said, you know, I saw young Abe out there. He was preaching my message. Now, to tell you the backwoods mentality, instead of realizing the kid's got a good memory, because I don't remember a thing you said, preacher. The man's pride rose up, and he had Abe and was on his way around the corner to the woodshed and was going to beat him. Preacher stopped him and says, what are you doing? Well, he was making fun of you. No, he was not. This boy is destined for greatness. But hey, the father didn't get a word of the message in him. So he was not training young Abe up to be like he should be. 23:17 says, do not let your heart envy sinners. Oh, but look at the nice house they live in and the nice clothes they wear. Oh, and all the toys they've got, the vacations they got. They're going to burn in hell. and you're envious of them? So what if they've got it for 80 years? Eternity is a very long time, if you haven't figured that out. Would you go ahead and turn these lights back on up here? I feel like I'm in the dark just a little. So because of that, Christians today are envying the sinners. I want to be like so-and-so. I want to be... Listen, if they don't have a godly lifestyle, I do not want my children envying. I don't care if they're the best drummer. I don't care if they're the best guitar player. I don't care if they're the best singer. If they do not have a godly lifestyle backing it, my children do not have any need looking up to these people and envying them. Yeah, you can learn a few things from their talent, but so what? Who cares how good Eddie Van Halen is? Who really cares? He can't hold a marriage together. And I realize it was a two-way street. They both had affairs. But it's been like that for a very long time. So what? Oh, I want to be like Gene Simmons. Really? You want to be somebody so smart, knows the word God in and out, and refuses to serve God, knowing what's on the other end. I promise you, folks, he's one of those who's thinking, I'm going to hold off until the 11th hour. On my dying bed, I'm going to repent. He will end up like Sam Kinison. The 11th hour came at 10:30. He wasn't expecting it. So all that lifestyle, thinking I'm going to repent then. Why? Because, was Gene Simmons, I think Gene Simmons' father was a preacher. I know Alice Cooper's dad was. Yeah, I think so. At least Alice got revelation and said, you know what? Maybe there's a little more to this God. Maybe I better just back off the lifestyle that I'm living. Yeah, I know. He still does his macabre shows. Still comes out with snakes and stuff. I ain't afraid of snakes. I don't want to dance with a snake. I prefer to wear them on my feet. But when people get away from what we're supposed... Listen, when churches get away from what they're supposed to be doing, that's why we prayed the other day at War on the Floor that this body would remember its focus and stay on its focus, not on somebody else's. Our focus is not that. Our focus is to equip people to be able to stand. Now, we will help the best that we possibly can, and we know of avenues that you can go into to get help. But what good is it going to do you if you got your belly full and you go to hell? Seriously. It's not going to do you any good. But us, God's going to say, why didn't you continue preaching the word that I told you to preach? The word that was going to change people, build them up, and teach them how to fight. I'll tell you right now, this morning, part of me was glad to hear the alarm clock go off. And then the other part just said, okay, it was a long day yesterday and I'm really not looking forward to this alarm clock be ringing. But this was the first time that I can ever remember that I was actually able to go back into a dream and carry on. Four times. That's how many times I hit the snooze. I forgot I had actually set the clock earlier than it normally should have been. I'm like, what? And it's early. But God reminded me, I believe, last night in a dream of what we're supposed to be standing against. We're supposed to be standing against the devil. Oh, Pastor, we're supposed to be out feeding the poor. Did you not notice that Peter said, find seven men who are good men, and that's their job? My job is to preach the word. My job is to get out there and teach these people how to get out of it. Like I said, I was so glad to wake up because in the dream, I was a house here in town that I don't even think exists, but the people who I think were living in the house do. And I know them, but their house was demon possessed. It had unwanted visitors. And they couldn't even go in their own house because this thing was ruling. It's not the first time God's given me those dreams. I've seen people walk in here that I knew were demon possessed. Well, Pastor, why has God given you those dreams? To remind me to keep standing against these things. You know, we don't have to go out and have some big exorcism service. I was reading of a Catholic priest in the Philippines on the AP the other day, of the Associated Press, who's been, it says, priest battles ancient demons. Did he ever go in the Word of God and see that Jesus just told him to leave? But this dude's got a whole ministry wrapped up, and he travels, and he's the only one in that region. The only one. Do you get that? I believe that Mark tells us that these signs shall follow those who believe in my name, and in my name they will cast out demons. You got the same authority I do, Gloria. You got the same authority that priest does, and I kind of wonder if they, well, I'm not going to say nothing. Just shut up while I'm ahead. Yeah. When you get off of what you're supposed to do, what you're called to do, you miss it. I now fully believe with all my heart, and maybe from time to time God will say, go. I am not called as an evangelist to go out and travel. No way, shape, how, nor form. My job is to Mount Gilead, Ohio, Morrow County, and Central Ohio. That is my job. This is my location. And honestly, I really wish more preachers would get that. That the people they're ministering to right here, it's not about money. Oh, yeah, I could probably get out there and start preaching, start marketing messages and stuff, and start making a lot of money. I told one guy last night, I was telling him about the internet. You know, he's like, I'm going to come. I just found out you were a pastor. See, I don't go out and tell everybody I'm a pastor. I'll throw it in from time to time when I think they need to know. But I don't want them to hear, because you know why? I've shared this before. I suddenly find out how spiritual they are. Oh, yeah, well, you just got through telling me what you did last night. Don't go telling me about how good and godly you are today. But this person, I know nothing evil about him, and he just telling me, he said, I just found out the other day that you're a pastor. He said, and another person told me last night, oh, yeah, my daughter loves your church. She said, if we did not have a home church, we would be in your church. Because my daughter loves your church. She loves your message. I hear good things about your church. I said, that's good. I like to hear good things. But anyhow, I was telling the guy, I said, yeah. I said, we got a website. He said, you got a website? I said, oh, yeah. I said, we put the messages on there. I said, you can go on, download the message. I said, if you want to make a CD, you can make a CD. I said, I told people from the beginning, I'm not going to charge. I said, I'm not going to charge you for the Word of God. It's free. Take it. This way you can put it on your iPod, whatever you want to do. You just go download it from the website. He thought that was the greatest thing. See, we could sell the Word of God. Oh, and we could go out and get it trademarked. Do you think that's something God would want us doing? That's my message. There are preachers fighting over that right now. They are suing each other because that's a trademarked message. I'm like, what are you talking about? That's a revelation of the Holy Spirit, and that does not belong to you, Bubba. Do you really seriously think you're the only one who got it? Yeah, exactly. He missed the whole point of the message. 7 billion people, and you're the only one that the Holy Spirit chose to share that message with. And out of that, there might be 300 million of us who are Spirit-filled. And you're the special one. The book of Proverbs, folks. I do. I want to challenge you to read one every day. Notice there's 31. One a day. Today's the 17th. Read 23:17. Or not 23:17, 17th chapter. We just read 23:17. Get in there and read it. Well, Pastor, that didn't deal with anything I need. Listen, knowledge is something you build up. We're going to talk about this. I'm getting ready to wrap up. We're going to talk about how wisdom is something you obtain, you get. You know, when you were in school, you just didn't sit down on the first day and suddenly they said, okay, we're going to open her cranium. Now you know how to take blood and you know how to do all this stuff, and they walk away from her. No, she kept going to school. Every time there was a class, she was there. She took the test. She did the practical applications. She did all that. Anybody who does anything had to go to school. I would have loved for him to have just said, okay, in first grade, here, pop your brain open. We're going to pour in 12 years of knowledge. Shut it. Go have fun for the next 11 years. That's what I tried to do anyhow. Kind of backfired a few times, but. Yeah. See, if somebody had told me that, I just held off. Oh, ain't no point. I'll know everything in 2 years anyhow. But you see, wisdom is something we have to pursue. The first couple chapters of the book of Proverbs talks about that. Like I said, we're going to look at some of this stuff. We're not backing off from it. You get bored with it, I'll tell you what, I'll change the message when you start living it. I'm not pointing at anybody in particular. I'm just saying. The Holy Spirit won't let me up on this because we've got to get it. You might be the only thing that holds somebody out of hell. It could have been just one little thing you read in the book of Proverbs that said not to do this. You want business advice? Don't shake hands with somebody you don't know and back them financially. Business advice from the book of Proverbs. It says, don't be surety for a stranger. I don't know you. Because it says, promising you're going to lose what you got. Now, if that person is invested in it with you, and you know them, you trust them, there's a pretty good chance it's a safe investment or safe business venture. But you know what also is a good business mindset? Don't make business with friends. Just keep it out of there. Just life's a lot easier. We need to remember the ancient landmarks, folks. The book of Proverbs are the ancient landmarks I believe God wants us to go back to. Why? And I say that because the book of Proverbs tells us in no uncertain terms how to deal with people. Don't be friends with an angry man. That's somebody that's loose cannon all the time. I had a sergeant tell me that. I had a guy that we actually hit it off. He's from Detroit and everything, and we hit it off in the Philippines. We actually hit it off in Okinawa. He got deployed first, and we got hooked back up. I'm actually his son's godfather. And I had a sergeant tell me, he says, you know what? I don't understand why you're friends with him. He is no good for you. Now, I'll tell you why at that particular point. I still had low self-esteem. I wanted friends. And so I hung around with him. I could see that he was an angry person. He was one of those guys you woke up from the other side of the door. You didn't dare go wake him up in his bed. Although I loved being on duty when it come time to wake people up in the barracks, because we had metal doors and every barracks always had a pool table. And instead of beating on the door with our fist, and once you do that about 30, 40 times, your hand is sore. We'd grab a cue ball and we'd walk down through. All the doors had dents in them. And we'd beat on the doors with a cue ball. Throw trash cans down the corridors, whatever it took to get people up. I did not realize that being his friend was actually being a detriment to me. But the Bible told us right there, don't be friends with an angry man. And I really didn't realize just how big of an anger problem he had until he told me he busted the window out of his car at his wife while they were home on leave. Why? Because she rolled it up. Did you fool? Who had to pay for the window? Who ended up getting divorced 2 years later? Relationships are covered in there. Business advice is covered in there. How to relate with God is in there. And I will tell you, many times the Bible, Proverbs talks about not oppressing the poor, the fatherless, the widow. Don't go into his field. Stay out of his field. Don't let him do all the work and you come along and harvest some of it because he doesn't have anybody to stand up for him. Because the Bible says his Redeemer will. Let's stand this morning. Folks, you are a chosen generation. You've been selected by Almighty God for such a time and place as this. We want to change the world. I have a cousin who keeps posting on it. He wants to be the president. I said, you know, that's great. Now, he's got a few years before he's old enough to even run. But I said, I'll tell you what, if you want to make, you can make more changes as one person in right out of school than you can if you become president. I said, you start helping people right now. I said, you will affect more people than the president can help change. Because anybody who knows the president is really just a puppet. He can come up with things, but it's Congress and the Senate and all everybody else that's got to fight over it. It's his ideas he pushes. But you know what? We keep praying, oh, Lord God, we want revival. We want revival. And you know what a lot of people are praying for? They're praying for some traveling minister to come in and clear out the whole building and everybody's falling on the floor, laughing and rolling and kicking each other in the head. And what revival is a reviving of the fire in you. You're not going to get that for a sustained amount of time just going to a special meeting. You're only going to get that by getting in the Word of God and renewing yourself every day. How about drawing on the real fire? You know, Todd Bentley didn't have the fire. Rodney Howard Brown doesn't have the fire. It's the Holy Ghost. Doc Barclay doesn't have the fire. Pastor Dosek doesn't have the fire. Kenneth Copeland doesn't have the fire. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the one who inspired the Word. That's the only way you're going to get changed. Yeah, God can do something right then and there. He can start something. But I promise you, you want something that's lasting? The Word always prevails. It always stands. It's not changing. The Word of God is not going to change just because the stock market went down. The Word of God doesn't change just because they found a new strain of disease floating around that it's totally resistant to antibiotics. Everybody, you know, and I hope nobody's ever been there. I know as young boys, they always say, oh, Hugh Hefner has to have the lifestyle, all them pretty girls around him all the time. Just read an article last night, folks. Anybody know what Legionnaire's disease is? I've heard of it. I think it has something to do with respiratory, but as of right now, there's been over 200 people diagnosed with the sicknesses and maybe another 70 identified who were at the last Playboy Mansion party. The hot tub has Legionnaire's disease. There were over 400 people at the party. It's looking like they're all going to get sick. That sounds like a fun time, doesn't it? disease floating around in a hot tub. Remember what the Bible said? Don't envy the sinner. Oh yeah, he's got a nice house. Has absolutely no real love. No real relationships. He's going to stand accountable for a lot of things. The Word of God is the only thing that's going to change your life forever. Like I said, no experience on the floor. No special church service. Oh, but Pastor, I love being in. If you guys weren't paying attention, the Holy Spirit is here today. There's a difference when I walk particularly through that door right there. When those doors are closed, there is a different air in here. When I walked in on the All for the Glory, is that it? You are my world, yes. You are my world. I could tell the anointing in this building. The anointing is here. The anointing that breaks the yokes is here. The anointing that keeps the yokes off is right here. Get in it. Read it. Know it. Hear it. Faith only comes by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you and we praise you for your wonderful word. Lord, we thank you for sending Jesus, the Word made flesh, to demonstrate to us how to live, how to serve you. Father, we thank you. Lord, I thank you for Gutenberg, that he created the printing press so he could print the Bible. Lord, I thank you that the Bible is now in print, that we can easily have access to the Word, so that we can know you, so that we can get the anointing, so we can understand how to remain free, how to deal with each other, how to have proper relations with even the sinners. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord God, I ask that you help us all to return back to the landmark of the word. Father, your word has never changed. Your word does not change just because this is 2011. The word is the same in the year zero as it was in 2011. Nothing has changed. Lord, help us to be particularly wary of messages that come out and tell us that the word has to change, that things have changed, and so the Bible has to change. Give us wisdom to discern truth, Father. Help us all to seek the wisdom, Father, for we know that with wisdom is true riches. Lord, I thank you for your people today. Lord, I thank you for their faithfulness, for their love. Lord, I pray that you begin to stir in them. Stir in them their dreams, Lord God, the dreams that you have put into them. Father, the truth, the things that they will be chasing. Father, we know you've not put us all down here just so we can eat, live, breathe, and die. That we have a more higher calling. Father, I pray that you bless your people now. I pray, Father, right now you heal bodies. Father, I bind any sickness and disease in the name of Jesus. Bacteria that does not belong in the body, I curse it in Jesus' name. Lord, congestion in lungs right now is clearing up because the word says that we are healed. Father, again, I pray that you bless your people. Pour your anointing out on them, Father, this week as they go out into the world, Lord God, that people will see and know that they are Christians. In Jesus' name, amen.